This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail Cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I am stellar, Josh. Game week 6 just wrapped up and I am having a blinder of a season. I can't believe it. Best start of the season ever.
You truly are. And yeah, normally I'm pretty actively rooting against you. just I don't know why. Just because I'm a jerk or something. And
you're very competitive, Josh.
With you in this one, we talked about this before. We're not competitive in real life. We're competitive in the game, however. Extremely competitive.
Yeah, when you found out that my salary was $3.5 million a year and you make $10,000 a year, you weren't really competitive about that.
I thought we were making the same. So it was that was very surprising.
Kind of a shock. It was a shock to the system.
It's early in the season. It's a great start for you. I'm actually having a pretty reasonably good start to the season too. So we'll talk about our own teams in a moment, but as you mentioned, game week 6 just wrapped. Kind of an interesting, I don't know, it felt like it went by fast this game week, right? I mean, maybe because there were no Monday matches or something, but it was like
there was just a huge chunk of games on Saturday. All the matches that kind of really mattered were on Saturday, right? Liverpool and Manchester City playing, a lot of people captaining Hazard, so Sunday did come into play, but it did feel a little sleepy on Sunday.
I felt like there was just so much drama this week about decisions the Salah issue versus Hazard. And so, normally we don't do this, but we have, there's a question here from Byron Brew, which I think it's a question that is just everyone's asking it. So I feel like I might as well just throw it right at the top of the podcast and we can just deal with it right away. So after game week 6, he says, where do we all stand on the Salah argument? Having gone without him since the start in favor of outscoring him elsewhere, I'm aware that I was only a disallowed goal away from dropping thousands, probably more like hundreds of thousands, in overall rank this game week. With this huge ownership and ever-present threat, does he remain essential, or does going for Hazard, Mane, Sterling, etc. make more sense, and should you invest the difference elsewhere? So, I mean, I know we've talked about this in earlier podcasts, but it keeps coming up. You know, you've decided to stay with Salah. Did anything change after this game week?
I think I felt better with the decision that I made after this game week. I mean, I understand one goal, no bonus, a bevy of missed opportunities. It doesn't suddenly vindicate everything. But right. If you looked at the big captaincy debate coming into game week 6 between Aguero, Salah, and Hazard, Salah came out ahead. That was good. Mm-hmm. He's now three returns. He's 50-50 in terms of offensive returns. Is that right? Or is it? No, it's.
Yeah. Well, he scored three
four,
and six. And
four yeah. of. But if you count the game week 2 in which he got 2 assists, so that's 4 out of 6 game weeks he's got attacking returns.
Right.
And I think that's fair enough. I was sad to see him drop in price, but I'm definitely sticking with, and I do not regret it. So I feel like game week 6 solidified my faith in keeping Salah.
I think I actually agree with you. I you know, he probably could have had two, maybe even he actually could have had three or four in that match. And it's almost like, you know, people feel like because he doesn't get three or four that he's somehow disappointing. You know, I mean, it's amazing that he creates so many chances for himself. And we're not going to rehash the bonus points. I mean, there's if you want to see Brandon red in the face, just bring up the bonus point. The system this time around him.
Bonus point system is an issue that I never really knew I cared so much about until you keep sort of poking me about it.
I
do. It.
I know. I keep poking you in your sensitive areas because I know I know how much.
Like the Pillsbury Doughboy of BPS.
But, you know, I think that there should be no negative BPS, but let's not rehash this. So, okay. So, rather than spend a whole podcast talking about this, we're talking about it in the first 5 minutes. Both of us think you should have Salah. Both of us think you should not drop Salah for Hazard. Is it safe to say that?
Yes.
Having Hazard and Salah, perfectly good idea. You have that set up right now.
Yep. And I got that set up by wildcarding. And I feel really good about that duo. I also think it makes my midfield very flexible, having two big premium assets. Right. The other piece of this puzzle is Mane. So you're on Salah and Mane. So if we agree that Salah remains for us a must own, Hazard is probably as close to a must own as he can get. Where does that leave Mane in the equation?
Well, I think that I have two transfers going into this game week, and there's a pretty good chance that I'm going to drop Mane for Hazard. That seems like the most – it just seems like it kind of makes the most sense. It gives me a little more balance. I don't think Hazard is going to be playing in a lot of the Europa League matches. I don't necessarily want to be doubled up on Liverpool in the midfield. Much longer. I don't know. I mean, it's part of it was that Salah didn't have a great match, which maybe is throwing me off a little bit. I mean, I feel very fortunate that Hazard didn't do anything today either. So in the end, I didn't really I didn't lose anything. In fact, I kind of gained something based on the one move that I did make. So basically, I bought myself an extra week to evaluate things, and I thought Hazard played reasonably well. He was not like an all time performance from him, but. He was fine. He actually could have if Fabianski didn't have such a good game, he probably could have had a goal or an assist in the match.
Yeah, and Chelsea just lacked that killer blow. And I think there's going to be a lot of talk this week about how Europa League is just going to affect the team as a whole. There's this whole story about how their flight back from Greece was delayed by many hours. Now, Hazard didn't make the travel, but still, you've got players like Willian who played the full 90. Pedro taken out of the squad because of that shoulder injury. So that's something that Chelsea's going to have to deal with for quite a spell of time.
So if we were ranking the midfielders, my rankings would be Salah first, Hazard second, Mane third, kind of everyone else after that, including Sterling.
Yep. You can have debates all day long about the mid-price midfielders, but I think you're spot on with those rankings.
All right. Questions done. We can move on to other stuff on this podcast. So, Brandon, how was your week? How was game week six for you?
Yeah, it was great. I finished on 70 points. I made one transfer. I got rid of Pedro. I think I was easy to say in hindsight. I was definitely contemplating getting Pedro out even prior to his Thursday night injury. So then the question there is, do you drop Pedro for Richarlison or James Maddison? And I think based on just the discussions we've had on this podcast and the likening to James Maddison as a mini Christian Eriksen or poor man's Christian Eriksen, I just felt like I might get more options out of Maddison. I'm going to get set pieces and attacking threat, whereas Richarlison is playing in a kind of out of form Everton team at the moment. Yeah. Richarlison is still clearly capable of scoring a goal against anybody. So came the Friday deadline, I went with James Maddison, and yet another great transfer that hit the week that I made it. So I feel very fortunate there. And so,
do you know what your estimated – we're recording too early for the game to be updated, but do you know what your estimated rank is going to be?
Yeah, my live rank on the Fix app is just a little over 6,000K in the world. So
that's great.
Yeah, firmly in the top 10K, which is huge for me. It was nice to see Robertson back in my defense getting bonus. Full clean sheets in the back with Wan-Bissaka, Robertson, and Alonso. And Mitrovic continues to be a great striker. I think we're gonna talk a lot about strikers later on in the podcast. But yeah. In the second half against Watford, he was a man on fire, and it was just incredible to watch.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking as someone who didn't have him. This Watford game was one I was really worried about as a non-Mitro owner. Yeah. We saw it. I mean, it's just, we talked about it actually in last week's podcast. There's a lot of Zaha versus Mitro discussion. And I was, even though I have Zaha, I was advocating strongly for Mitrovic because there are just ways for him to get the ball. Yeah, so this is like a little, like, I feel like he lines up in an interesting spot on corner kicks. I don't know if you've noticed this, but for a striker, you know, for like a number nine, I feel like he is like in the far corner. Like he comes in on the corner kicks.
He likes to crash the boards.
He does. Yeah. He's like right at the edge of the box, which you don't see very often. I feel like I was noticing it for some reason.
Yeah. I do wonder if that has anything to do with all the grappling that you see in the box. And if he stands farther out, it's either easier for the ref to see the grappling that maybe will happen, or it's easier for him to evade that.
Maybe, but it's interesting, like someone like Kane, you know, it's like right, like he's like right, like level with the goal, you know. So
yeah, and we both captain Salah, so that'll lead us into your game week, Josh, also captaining Salah. How'd you do?
I did fine, 59 points. It was really, I had a very frustrating final match today, on Saturday. I had Trippier, which I dropped Mendy for Trippier. I was just worried about Mendy's bone bruise, and I really liked Spurs' fixtures over the next few weeks. Yeah. And I felt like even if Mendy came back early, I would still be confident in having Trippier as kind of a like for like replacement. And so I get the assist in the first half. And it looks like they're going to get a clean sheet. And then Kane, just another miss that he's just so off this year. You know, he doesn't score a second goal. They go back and Anthony Tryhard Knockart scores a goal. It immediately knocks 5 points off me. You know, I was on at least one bonus point.
It's brutal.
So instead of nine, you know, which really could have been more if he didn't get a yellow card. You know, maybe it was going to be like around 11. And then when Danny Rose got his assist, he knocked him down one more. So I ended up with only 4 points from Trippier instead of nine, which, you know, it was just, I'm not going to complain about it. It is what it is. But, and honestly, you know, Brighton was kind of knocking on the door the whole time, but it's just it was a reminder. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I really don't, but to be good, like to have a great FPL season, there are like people who get mad at themselves for bad decisions. And there are times when, you know, like I was kind of annoyed with myself about like not bringing in Matt Doherty last week. Cause that just felt like a move I could have just made, and I should have just pulled the trigger on it. In this case, I feel like I made the right decision and it just didn't work out. And that's just like, you have to get lucky too. You know, like it's not a bad decision to bring in Trippier because they concede a goal in the 94th minute. You know, that's just bad luck. And it's just something to keep in mind. You know, like if you're bemoaning your team, like you got to remember that, like, you know, it's you have good luck and you have bad luck. And the, you know, in most cases, you just remember the bad luck and you don't remember the fortunate stuff. Right.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. Luck is key. And you've said it before on the podcast, just in terms of the game, it's not a bad thing. It's not unsporting to get lucky. Luck is a feature of the FPL game, not a bug. So
yeah, exactly.
You kind of lean into it. When you have good luck, celebrate it. When you have bad luck, that's just what it is.
Yeah. If there wasn't luck, it'd be like you could just set up some sophisticated bots and just, you wouldn't need to watch the match. I don't know. It's like,
well, there are listeners out there who are probably saying you formulate your own luck. You have to put yourself in a position to get that rub of the green. So it's it's not all just throwing a dart at the map.
Yeah. But losing 5 points in the 94th minute on a goal that was scored on the other side of the pitch of the defender you brought in, it's like, you know, it's just, you can't feel bad about that. You know, it's just, so anyway, I finished on 59 points, which is perfectly fine. I'm on a green arrow. It looks like I'm around 140K in the world. So that's fine. 140K after 7 weeks or after 6 weeks, is not a bad place to be at all. Someone shared our pod, a couple days ago, and they were like, "Hey, I really enjoyed the pod. I cannot believe," he's like, "I felt so bad for you. You were complaining so much." And then you said you were 150K in the world. I was like, "What is going on?" And I was like, I can get a little down. You know, it's like, it all becomes relative. You know, it's like once you settle into whatever ranking you've got, you know, if you get a red arrow, you feel bad. You know, you could be you could be in the top 800, you know, and if you get a red arrow and go back to 1100, you're like, oh, this is a disaster. I've lost 300 spots. Yeah. So, you know, you just sort of, you just adapt to where you are, you know? So,
managers like yourself, you've had really great seasons, and then therefore your target every season is going to be at least to match your best season.
Right.
So that's different for every manager.
Despite the fact that the game is harder than ever, you know, so. All right. So the always cheating. Oh, by the way, we went to the Black Horse yesterday. We had an opportunity to meet two Patreon supporters. We met Bruce Kerr, who was all the way up from Australia. And he was a really, really nice guy. Really enjoyed talking to him.
Absolutely. Wonderful guy.
And Bruce, do not worry about spilling the coffee. Totally fine.
He didn't spill the coffee. It was when Salah scored that what we thought was his second goal, therefore justifying every decision we've ever made in our lives ever. Yeah. I leapt for joy and I went to go high five you and knocked Bruce's coffee onto your crisp, beautiful white shirt. It's totally my fault.
I see. Okay. Gotcha. Well, anyway, no one feel bad.
So if you want to stop this podcast recording right now, I understand, Josh.
No one feel bad about the shirt. We also saw another Patreon supporter, Danny Bean, and his girlfriend was there as well. And
shout out to Sean, who Sean was feeling your pain with that Spurs clean sheet wipeout. I'd never seen anything like this. So Danny and Sean, they've been partners for some time. They just moved to the States. Neither Danny or I had Spurs defenders, but when Sean lost that clean sheet, Danny turned to his girlfriend and just started laughing maniacally. And I had never seen anything like it. And this was a normal thing in their household to antagonize one another. What a wonderful sight that was.
I know. You and I could not do that.
No.
Like, that is not our relationship at all. I think you would actually punch me. And I don't know what I think I would murder you. Like, I try to, like, it would not.
There would definitely be blood.
All right. So, so we're going to post this, the Always Cheating Super League on social media. We don't have that updated yet. Couple quick new patron thank yous. New Lord Sorloff patron Matt Ritter. New Mbakani patrons Brian B. and Matthew Smith. Thanks, guys. And we have a shout out this week, Brandon. We have an actual shout out on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a new feature for the podcast. You can actually go to alwayscheating.com and we now have a shop. You could go to our shop and buy for a very cheap price. I think it's $3 American, which is what, like 5p in the UK? It's very cheap. And you can buy a trash talk or a shout out to another manager who you have in your sights or anything like that. So our first shout out comes from Rashid Khan, and it is to Keegan Knott, a.k.a. The Wiz. Rashid says, I'd like to shout out my mate Wiz, who took a 20-point hit the week after playing his wild card. Thanks to an Aguero triple captain, though, he's still sitting 8K overall, but I'll catch him soon. The Wiz is a true maverick, I must say.
I have to. Yeah, I like this Keegan now. We're going to have him on the podcast soon. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break and we're going to get back in. So, you know, we were talking about what we wanted to talk about in this podcast, and maybe something we hadn't covered in earlier podcasts. And I said, well, what about strikers? And then we were sort of debating which strikers to talk about. I said, why don't we just talk about all of them? All right. So we're going to go through the top, I don't even know, like 25 strikers in the game. And we're just going to decide whether they're overrated, underrated, or properly rated after this break. All right, Brian, we're back. As we mentioned earlier, strikers. We're going to talk about all of them. We're just going to talk about everyone. All right, you ready? Uh-huh. I mean, maybe not De Poitra. Okay, we're not going to go all the way to page 3 on the statistics page here. But let's talk about at least like the top 25 or so. All right,
okay.
Just out of curiosity, who is the? Oh, there's a ton of 0 points. There's Quainer, Solanke, Okaka, Carroll. Andy Carroll, just still there, isn't he? Just still hanging around with that red flag.
Yeah, I imagine he's just sort of haunting some rehab facility somewhere, just like telling people stories about the one time he scored a goal for Liverpool and how cool it was.
Man, he's only scored double-digit goals in one season, 13 goals in the 2010-11 season. That was with Newcastle, I believe.
Andy Carroll, he's the equivalent of that guy you went to high school with who blew his knee out, and he told you, like, well, I probably could have played MLS. I definitely was on track.
It's like a playground legend.
Yeah. Andy Carroll is that, but a professional grade that.
All right, Brandon. So let's talk about, I guess let's just work our way down.
Yeah, okay? Let's start at the top. Yeah. Okay. Sergio Aguero. He's number one. Right.
Okay. And so as I mentioned, are these players, okay, and by overrated, underrated, properly rated, we just mean, you know, are they players that we're, well, I guess that kind of speaks for itself, right?
But like, sure.
We
can also, just in, yeah. Within the context of this season, strictly right. talking about FPL, are they right. properly rated under or over? And I think that clears. And Aguero is an interesting example because
yes.
there's really no way to overrate Aguero because he's done it season upon season upon season. But is he right. really doing it in the 2018-19 season?
It's reminiscent of Harry Kane's season last year a little bit. I guess he has more assists than Kane did last year, but you know, he has this hat trick in game week 2, right, where he picks up 20 points. But you know, around that he's already have 2 blanks in the season. You know, I mean, 4 of the 6 matches he's played this season, he hasn't scored a goal. Yeah, it's just interesting. He's got, you know, 2, so yeah, but he has 4 assists on the season too. So it's really, he's really made up for it. You know, but he's only on, let me see here. I think he's on only 4 bonus points on the season too, which is a little surprising for the top ranked forward. I mean, normally, okay. I think if you're number one overall forward after 6 game weeks, you expect them to have more than 4 bonus points, right? It's just he has 3 in game week 1 and then he has 1 from game week 4 and that's it.
Could you make the case that Aguero is overrated at the moment?
I mean, overrated to me implies that I don't think you should have him in your squad. And I do think that at 11.4 million, he's not that expensive by the historical standards of a top striker. Yeah. So I guess he's just properly rated. These will get trickier as we move down, you know, but Aguero is Sergio Aguero. You know, he's a great striker. Looks like he's pretty safe right now. It feels like Gabriel Jesus is playing, you know, the Champions League games, and I assume he'll play in the League Cup match as well.
It doesn't help that Jesus is in lousy form as well.
Yes.
Pep really kind of can't play him even if he wants to because he's just not yes. looked great since the World Cup.
They might play together in Game Week 7. I mean, Aguero is home to Brighton in Game Week 7. I mean, he's probably going to be the most captain player in the game next yep. week, right? I mean, yep. unless he gets injured or something.
Yeah, Pep's whole deal with, I'm going to play 2 up top and try to overwhelm the buses that are parking in front yeah. of them this season.
Mitrovic.
However you say his name. Just say Mitro.
Mitro.
I have to stop myself from saying Mitro. It's Mitro. I don't know. Yeah. All the pronunciation experts out there will let us know. So Mitro, he, of course, scored in game week 6. He is outscored Sergio Aguero on the season with 5 goals. So, and he's just 2 blanks out of 6 game weeks and 1 assist. Still a great bargain, I think, at 6.9. Fits very nicely into every squad. Fulham's yeah. fixtures are pretty kind coming up. Everton, then they host Arsenal at Craven Cottage, a match which Josh and I will be live in person
That's
at.
That's true. Thank you, Fulham Ticket Department.
Absolutely, thanks. And then Cardiff, Bournemouth, Huddersfield right in a row after that. So I think Mitro is... I feel like enough people out there in the FPL Twitter sphere are name-checking Mitro, and he's getting quite a lot of love. He's veering toward underrated just because he scored 5 goals. This is incredibly yeah. impressive, and he's only in a quarter of all the FPL teams out there, and I'd expect to see that number just grow.
Yeah, I mean, as a like for like, I could just swap Zaha to Mitro and actually save money, which is a move I really would like to do. I don't know. Maybe I could do it before game week 8. I don't know that I would do it next weekend. I mean, the question for me is what I do with Mane and Hazard. And if I make that move this week, then I couldn't make this move. But Zaha to Mitro, I do like. I just worry about, and I guess we're jumping ahead to Zaha here a little bit, but I just worry about.
Well, let's do it. Let's talk about Zaha, and then we can skip him when we get there.
Because Zaha's ownership is okay. Let me. It's further down than I realized. Yeah, points.
I've got him pulled up here. He's a similar ownership to Mitro. It's 25.3%.
Identical ownership. And he is a very attacking player. I mean, there's some concern about whether he's really a forward or not. I think he basically plays like a forward. I do wonder whether Benteke, who I don't think either of us rate highly at all, right? I mean,
he is properly rated as a total donkey. Yeah.
Right. But he was drawing some attention away from Zaha, and I don't know that Ayu is doing that. I don't really know why Lord Sorlot can't actually get any minutes, because Ayu has done nothing so far. I just feel like it's always going to be a struggle for Zaha to get goals. And it feels like he hasn't done that thing that he did last year, which is to kind of, maybe it's because they haven't been playing teams that they can catch on the break as often, or they haven't been playing really attacking teams. Like, I wonder if they played a team like Wolves, I would really like to have Zaha, you know, like a team that would really maybe have some space for him to fill up and maybe, you know, win a penalty or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
how many penalties did he win last season?
I was just going to say that he hasn't won any penalties, and Milivojevic is just, he's withering on the vine right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Mitro, I think I agree. He's slightly underrated just given his return and his low ownership and their good fixtures. He is the second striker that I most want in my team right now.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Lacazette, who the bandwagon is building a little bit of steam here. His goal against Everton today was absolutely stunning. He loves a great, like, pick that one out sort of curler. And I love that goal. And it looks like he's locking down that starting role next to Aubameyang. And if that's the case, it's a really good price at 9.4, only selected by 4.5% team. So I think he was underrated coming into the season. And I think now people are starting to properly rate him now that he's getting a starting spot. So,
yeah, I mean, at 4.5% ownership, he's underrated by the public at large. I still don't love that price, 9.4 million.
It's impossible to fit into any sort of system that any run-of-the-mill FPL manager's got going.
I mean, you've got to, like, really rearrange your team to bring him in, I feel like, at 9.4. And I still feel like I'd prefer Jamie Vardy, who's actually a little bit cheaper than Lacazette.
Yeah, the fixtures for Leicester are insane. We can talk about them when we get to Vardy.
Fixtures are really good. There's still, I guess, a little bit of doubt whether Lacazette may, there could be some rotation there with Mkhitaryan, maybe. I mean, I'm not as worried about the Lacazette rotation. To me, it's more of a slot thing. Like, I just don't know. I don't really want to rearrange my team to bring him in. And I don't know that I trust Arsenal enough in general to spend $9.4 million on one of their players.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, for as excited as I was about Lacazette's goal, Arsenal still did look pretty dire for, you know, at least 60 minutes of that match against Everton. So it's not like Arsenal's flying high. 5 wins in a row, though. That's a head of steam.
That's true. It was 5, including the Europa League match.
Yeah, all competitions, it's 5 in a row.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I think they're like in 5th or 6th place already. I mean, they lost those first two, and I think everyone kind of forgot about them. And they've just been kind of moving along, nice, fairly relatively easy wins.
Yeah.
But a pretty diverse attack. I mean, I guess we are seeing that Lacazette Mkhitaryan combo really starting to, as we all expected. I mean, I guess maybe
Lacazette Aubameyang combo, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say?
Mkhitaryan, but that's fine.
Oh, sorry. Of course. Yeah. Lacazette. It's a lot of multi-syllable last name players on this team, Brandon. It's hard to.
Yeah. There's a Mos Eisley Cantina feel to the names up front there.
Yeah, and I think they can keep it going. I mean, this is, you know, they're one of the oldest teams in the league. And so you'd think that there's, you know, it's a very veteran team. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of, I actually think that they really have a chance to challenge for that 4th Champions League spot this year.
Well, so let's round out the Arsenal conversation here and jump to Aubameyang. So we're talking about Lacazette. Aubameyang dropped, it's just plummeting in price. He's down to 10.8. But still at 11.3% ownership. If you had to make a choice going into Game Week 7, who you take, Lacazette or Aubameyang? Or the other question, I guess, would be, if you have Aubameyang right now, what do you do? Do you keep?
Yeah, if I have Aubameyang, I keep him, you know, for sure. I mean, he's properly rated, I would say, Aubameyang. Mm-hmm. I definitely wouldn't drop him. If I were on a wild card and I just really wanted to have an Arsenal attacker for some reason, I feel like we're pretty much on the same page that neither of us really want either one of these guys.
Right. So maybe we don't need to belabor it. Would you?
But I mean, if I were picking between the two, I guess I would have to go with Lacazette, right? Just because Lacazette is actually playing as in the striker role when the two of them play together, and he's at $1.4 million cheaper.
I would go so far as to say Aubameyang is overrated at the moment within the confines of the FPL game. He hasn't produced anything near the quality that one would need for an 11 million striker. Just 2 goals and 1 assist on the season and 3 bonus. Okay, so that's comparable to Aguero, so that's fine. But yeah, I think he's overrated at the moment.
Yeah, stay away from these guys. I understand that they're not really explosive. I guess we've said enough already. Neither of us are. It might come back to haunt us, this opinion, but I think both of us don't feel like you need either player right now.
I think that's fair enough. Perhaps the better thing to say is Arsenal is a conversation we're definitely going to have later on down the line, but now is not the time.
Right. No, I don't want to talk to you about it. So let's just
let's move on.
All right, let's take the next two together because I think they're kind of an interesting pair.
Yep.
Expensive players who everyone thinks have been kind of disappointing this year, yet they are ranked 4th and 5th overall in terms of overall points. You have Romelu Lukaku. Brandon, you call him Big Rom. You're the only person who calls him that.
Yeah,
I think you must have made it up.
I was in the shower one morning and I was just thinking about Romelu Lukaku, and I thought, maybe I'll just start calling him Big Rom, and it's caught fire worldwide.
It really has. You hear it everywhere now. And then Sir Harold Kane, maybe we shouldn't take these guys together, but let's talk about Kane first, because now I'm just thinking about Kane. If all you saw were Kane's numbers on the season, you would think he was having an okay season, right? He scored 3 goals in 6 matches. He's picked up an assist. He's got 6 bonus points on the season. But to watch him play, it's
that's the real story, isn't it?
The story is the play, right? Because it is not. I mean, for him to pick up 3 bonus points in that match is ridiculous. Uh-huh. I mean, he didn't do anything, right? I mean, it was like a
kind of a sign of how poor everyone was in that match.
Yes.
I mean, when you take all the clean sheets off the table, then sort of anything goes. And the other goal was scored by Lamella, who is a late game substitution, makes it much harder.
They need someone better than Eric Dier to play in that sort of defensive midfield role, don't you think? I just was really unimpressed.
Speaking of overrated, Eric Dier is one of the most overrated players in that England setup.
We all liked him that first year, right? When he came from Portugal or whatever.
And sure, the Dier Wolf.
Englishman from Portugal. That's kind of interesting. And that is something they really should have upgraded in the offseason. It'd be fun to see something like a Luke. It doesn't feel like a very Spurs player, but it's like a Lucas Torreira in that squad. Like, wouldn't that be like a little guy just running around, kicking people in the shins? And I just feel like Spurs could use that.
Yeah, a little more dynamism. I mean, you have a slowpoke like Moussa Dembele, as fantastic as he is at controlling the play. He's moving slow. Dyer's moving slow. It is like a sloth behind their attack.
There's no one with like some bite. I feel like, Dembele used to have that a little bit, I guess. But even, is Victor Wanyama injured or is he just totally out of the squad now?
He is injured. And I think they'd love to play him more. He's it's a full 2 seasons almost of him struggling with injuries. It's a shame.
I wonder if that is even hurting Kane. It feels like Kane has to track back so much now too to win the ball. And, Eriksen's not having a great season either, and it's just the Spurs team, man, is Lucas did not have one of his finest performances, although I did not think he was the worst defender on the field.
He just didn't see much of the ball, I think, was the issue.
Yeah, exactly. I thought a lot of people played worse than he did, but not a great match for anybody. It was kind of amazing that Spurs were up 1-0 going into like the 80 whenever they scored that second goal, because they really shouldn't have been. Knockaert actually had a big chance earlier in that match too. So Kane, I think that he is, I suppose, overrated. I mean, he's 25% owned. His fixtures are good. You have to talk about the fixtures a little bit.
Yeah.
Can't just look at the stuff in a vacuum. And they play Huddersfield, Cardiff, and West Ham in the next 3. But given his, the price has to be, the fixtures have to be a factor, but the price has to be a factor too.
Yeah.
And at that price, you just can't have him, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think there is a temptation to make the argument that he's underrated because everyone's like, when you're talking about Kane, you're talking about how fatigued and bad he looks right now. But that's exactly why he is overrated. And you have to trust what you see on the pitch. He's not going to show up next week and just suddenly be his old self. It's going to be, a gradual evolution. I think we will see it coming when Kane breaks through. So don't even worry about Kane at the moment.
Yeah, when in form, he's fixture proof. You can play him against anybody and he can deliver. He's not like a flat track, speaking of Lukaku, he's not a flat track bully, but yeah, it's hard to recommend bringing him in right now, given that he just doesn't look like he's, at full force.
Okay. So that's Lukaku. That brings us to Lukaku, Big Rom, as you might know him. Four goals, equal on goals as Aguero. It's a very tight race for the Golden Boot already, Josh.
It is, yeah.
He had his rest in game week one, and true to Big Rom form, he hasn't missed a single minute of football since. He just sort of gallops around the pitch all match and waits for the ball to fall.
Looking unhappy,
he did get a price rise, which was shocking to see. I think that people are feeling Rom right now. You look at this across the stats page, £11.1 million owned by 11% of all FPL managers. So lots of ones there. It's
very elegant. Yeah. He's on more bonus points than Aguero on the season. But yeah, I think I thought of him in that same category as Kane because there's a player with good fixtures moving forward. Although maybe West Ham defensively have tightened things up a little bit. I mean, they just kept a clean sheet at home to Chelsea, and now they play Man United. It'll be a very interesting test there. So, yeah, I don't recommend Lukaku either. I don't know. At 11.1 million, I just want to trust. I want to trust my player more, and I'd rather if I was going to spend 11 million on a player I didn't totally believe in, I'd rather go with like Raheem Sterling.
Yep.
And bring in like a 5.5 million, bring in a Danny Ings type and just have like a super midfield instead of Romelu Lukaku.
Or Jamie Vardy, who we'll talk about, who has more explosiveness, where Rom is just his game is consistency and he's never been explosive. And I think that's what you're getting in your midfield with these expensive players like Hazard and Salah and Mane. You're getting expensive consistency and good output. What I want in my strike force and that's what Aguero is giving, and what there are so many options cheaper than that is explosiveness. So yeah, Rom is kind of out of the discussion for that reason.
Because Mitrovic is giving you cheap consistency. Mm-hmm. For 4 million less, you can get the same level of consistency.
Yep.
And given how attacking Fulham is going to have to outscore everybody, right? To stay up this year, they're not gonna win it on 1-0s. So I mean, Mitrovic is going to have chances, all season long. One would think.
If we want to spin this positively, though, I think you could definitely make the case of, as we said, equal on goals between Aguero and Lukaku, good run of fixtures for United. It's a differential. It's a way for, right. I think it's a reasonable differential to take at the moment.
Yeah. So let's say you wanted to be different and you want to have one of these two players. Who do you pick between Lukaku and Kane?
Lukaku, for sure. I think Kane has the benefit of being on penalties, but yeah, as we saw this weekend, that's probably the only way Kane is going to be scoring goals for the time being. I think Lukaku is better.
I actually think I would still go with Harry Kane, maybe just because of the pens. I don't know. I mean, that Cardiff at home in Game Week 8 is a great fixture. I also just don't – I don't know who's going to get Lukaku the ball. I mean, suddenly, like, everything's running through Fred for Man United. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Even the goals are running through Fred.
Yeah, he should have had a brace. I don't know if you saw his free kick.
Yes, but great save by Patricio.
Yeah, so I would go Kane there if I wanted to be a little different. Even though he's more expensive than Lukaku, that would still be my pick.
Okay, let's just round out this. Like, would you? So we would not consider dropping Aguero for either of these guys. Do you think it is truly beyond the pale, though, to consider moving Aguero to Kane or Lukaku for that differential?
It feels like there are other ways to be different other than dropping a 52% owned player who yeah. has really good fixtures and yeah. is, you know, headlining the best attack in the Premier League. It just yeah. it feels like you're trying too hard.
Okay, well said. All right, let's move on. We've got Callum Wilson for Bournemouth. He is doing his Callum Wilson thing. He scored two goals back to back.
Overrated.
Okay, yeah.
Overrated.
Moving on. Josh King taking penalties back off him basically kills the Callum Wilson dream. It's over. Move on.
I think so. Yeah, we can talk about King and Wilson together for sure. I mean, they're both priced at 6.3 million. They're actually only separated by 3 points now. King has had some pretty good chances, actually, in the last couple of game weeks. I actually wouldn't drop either one. Mm-hmm. And I actually think you could definitely consider, you really could bring in either one. I mean, look at this run of fixtures. Palace, Watford, Southampton, Fulham in the next four. Yeah. Those are great fixtures.
An interesting thing to me yeah. also about Josh King is Stanislas is back from injury. And you remember when Josh King was at his peak form, was that two seasons ago?
Yeah.
It was like the Stanislas King connection. And I feel like the boys are back. Let's make this yep, happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and King's on pens. So if I were to pick between the two, I'd go with King. Their fixtures get pretty bad starting in game week 11, but King's not going anywhere until then. So if I were to make a Mitro move, it would definitely be Zaha for Mitro. I'm going to hold on to King.
Okay.
I mean, it's silly that he's down to 6.3 million. Two price drops for a player who's like, you know, in the top 10 overall for strikers. That just seems... I guess it was because he was so highly owned at the start of the season. But
yep.
I mean, at this point, King is a differential for me. 6.3 million, 4.9% ownership.
That is shocking. That's quite low. Yeah. It's shockingly low.
Yeah. All right, Brandon. Here's a player who I think. Oh, actually, no. Let's talk about Firmino first. Roberto Firmino.
Yeah, I claim that
the man, the teeth, the legend,
and now the eye. He there was a picture of him at Liverpool training wearing safety goggles, and I wish he would have actually warn them during the match. I think it would be, we need more players wearing glasses in game.
We do. I wish he'd worn just like regular, like Warby Parker glasses. Just like.
yeah. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I think Firmino is underrated at the moment. He's flying under the radar. Two goals and two assists on the season. And he is in that really awkward price bracket, 9.4, what we were saying with Lacazette. So that makes it tricky. Plus, we're already heavily invested in Liverpool. Surely you have Salah or Mane, and a lot of us right. also are in with Andy Robertson's taking up
right.
6 million worth of funds. So I think Firmino's day will come, and it will mm-hmm. it will be in a later wild card or something like that. But I think there yeah. are many more goals for Firmino coming up very soon.
All right, Firmino, Lacazette, exactly the same price right now. Who would you pick, Firmino or Lacazette?
Well, I guess I go Lacazette just for in terms of differentiating my squad. If I'm mm-hmm. covered with a great goal scorer like Mo Salah, I think coverage. Okay, we're gonna dance around that word.
Right.
I feel covered, so I'll get in on Lacazette, where I feel like Arsenal are going to score goals and they have decent fixtures as well.
Yeah. I guess I would go Firmino just based on his historical, you know, goal scoring record. But I don't really want either one, to be honest. I mean, he scored 15 goals and 8 assists last season, 11 goals and 11 assists the season before that, 10 goals and 8 assists actually before that. He's never scored less than double digit goals in a Premier League campaign. He's on 2 goals and 2 assists right now, probably a little below expectations at the moment. You know, especially considering that he's actually started all 6 matches. So, you know, and then they play Chelsea and Man City in the next two. So, yeah, like you said, his time will come. I wouldn't look at bringing him in right now. If I were wild carding, I don't think I'd have him either.
Yeah, fair enough. I haven't managed to convince myself either. So there you go. All right, Glenn Murray, Hair Plug City.
underrated, right? I mean, we never talk about him. He's on 4 goals on the season. It's only 6.5 million.
2.2% ownership. He is He's just the least sexy FPL player I can think of. But to watch him play is to love Glenn Murray. At I think he's age 34 going on 35, and he's looking even better, I think, than he did last season.
He's the homeless man's Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, exactly. He's played every single minute of the season. For a guy who's getting on in years and everyone assumed he'd be put out to pasture over the summer, he's playing every minute. And
he's a player who's younger than I am, by the way. That's painful to hear, but you're right. It's true. So the thing about Brighton is that, so they play away to Man City in game week 7, and then they don't have a hard match until Christmas. Like they literally have a great run of fixtures until December 15th. I'm not going to run through all of their fixtures here, but it's just they basically don't play anyone in the top six. And really even at Christmas time, it's not that bad. They've got a couple home matches with Chelsea and Arsenal, but other than that, it's Everton, West Ham, Bournemouth. I think Brighton is like the next team that a lot of us are going to start buying players from over the next couple of weeks. Just because they're so cheap, their ownership is so low. They brought in a lot of players in the offseason who haven't really had a chance to shine yet, but I think might have their moment. And you know that I'm a big Anthony Tryhard Knockart fan. So
he did look quite good against Spurs. He's looked, as much as I kind of hate on him, I think this season he is starting to really grow into the Premier League. Yeah, so I'm watching.
One goal, three assists, 5.5 million, 0.7% ownership. Wow. So,
yeah.
One to watch. All right, Brandon, how far along are we here? This is a lot of strikers.
All right, let's do some quick fire. So Arnautovic is injured right now. He's back in light training, I guess. So you could actually see him as early as game week 7. So it's worth sticking it out for more news or information. If you have Arnie in your squad, don't transfer him out just yet. The issue here is West Ham really don't have a striker. Unless Arnautovic is playing. And you saw that against Chelsea. There was actually they did have a few chances against Chelsea, but Antonio couldn't put them away. But I think Arnautovic is properly rated. He's getting his accolades, justifiably so. When healthy, he's performed. I like him.
Yeah, there's gotta be some concern about his health now. I mean, for him to leave two matches, two of the last three matches with injury gives you a little bit of pause, right? Like, he's just too banged up right now to be at his best. All right, we talked about Josh King. Trey Deeney, 6.1 million.
Let's take these two Watford guys in one fell swoop, Deeney and Gray. Gray looked pretty great in the first half against Fulham. Took his chance well early in the game.
But finally got over the text message debacle, the tweet gate.
Tweet gate, yeah. He's left that behind. People have decided they really don't care about Andre Gray, and they've all forgotten about it. But yeah, Watford continue to look fantastic. They just kind of fell apart for some unknown reason in the second half of that Fulham game. And teams will do that. I'm not going to read too much into it. I still really do like Watford this season.
Yeah. I think if there's like a theme that's emerging here, there are just a ton of great forward options between 6 and 6.5 million. I mean, you honestly can't go wrong with many of these, right? I mean, Glenn Murray starting in game week 8, Josh King over the next few game weeks, Mitrovic, we're a fan of. I mean, there's just no, talk about Lacazette, Lukaku, Kane. There's just no reason to spend an extra 4 million on those players right now.
Yeah, well, you put on our Slack, our Patreon Slack, that we were taking questions for this episode. There are lots of questions about forwards. Stephen Toomey jumped on there, and he said exactly that. Like, you can't say with any 100% certainty that any of these strikers are the best one to have. Just kind of take your swing and hope for the best, because they're all great options in their own way.
Yeah, I think it ties in with what we were talking about earlier on in the podcast, which is or it's another way of looking at what we were talking about earlier in the podcast. It's okay to have Salah because you don't need to spend that money on. If Kane were firing on all cylinders right now, I think it would be very hard to have Salah in your team.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. If Kane was just totally exploding, I don't know how you can have Aguero and Kane and Salah and Hazard.
Yep.
And have all of these, premium defenders, all these Robertson types and Ederson, et cetera. So, I just don't think it's possible. And so I think something has to give. And for, I think right now, it's expensive strikers because you can just, you know, except for maybe Aguero, because you can just get this almost the same value. If you can get close, if you can get 90% of the way there, you might as well just save that 4 million, because that 4 million can definitely be spread around your team and make up for those couple of points that you might be losing.
Yep. So Deeney gets the edge here because he's on pens, I guess, just for 0.1 more expensive.
Yeah, I think it's close. I mean, Gray was great in the preseason, yeah. Which I guess I'm still holding on to a little bit. And, you know, scoring two and two. So it's like a coin flip, yep. Really. I don't know that I have a strong opinion.
Iheanacho creeping up in the rankings here. He had a decent game against Huddersfield with a goal and an assist. I'm not sure he's really... For me, it's too soon to tell with him. He really hasn't done much at all at Leicester. You have to take
his injured. Yep. Yeah.
It's game week six. You have to put that into perspective.
I think what's encouraging is that he played. I mean, I think there was some concern about whether those two guys would play together, you know, and it looks like he can play in that Okazaki role, kind of next to Vardy as like a second striker.
Yep.
And as long as he can do that, he's with their fixtures coming up at five. I mean, again, this is actually almost talking me out of dropping Aguero, because you could just fill your whole front line with these 6 to 6.5 million players. And maybe you just bring in Sterling as your like kind of Man City coverage.
Yeah, so interesting.
I don't know. It's interesting. Turning my head a little bit now.
All right. Danny Ings. He was the cheap player to get a couple weeks ago. We have a week without Ings. He had to sit out against Liverpool. But 5.7. Gosh, I mean, he's kind of veering into, for Danny Ings, expensive territory.
Yeah. I still don't like, I mean, three in the last four games he's played. He's scored in three of the four matches he started.
Yeah.
Looks like he's, you know, he's on fire. I actually think, considering the other options that we've talked about, I don't know that if I were wildcarding right now, I don't think Ings would be in my squad. I think there's other players I would prefer, but he's, you know, I mean, and also I don't love Southampton as like a team to have like players with, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I have Danny Ings right now and I've gotten two goals from him, which I feel blessed, Josh, but it doesn't fill me with great excitement to own Danny Ings. And I share your fears. I mean, Southampton don't look like the most dangerous team. You look at the next guy on this list, it's Jimenez for Wolves. Slightly cheaper at 5.5. He's nailed on for starts. Looks healthy. Mm-hmm. That team looks great going forward. If you're wild carding, then Jimenez, because you're saving 0.2, starts to become even more appealing than Danny Ings. So I think that's a tough call for me to make.
Yeah. Ings. It's actually a question that Simon asked us on the Slack. He said, you know, by the way, this is an all Slack, because we're doing this as an early podcast day. It's an all Slack question. So, Simon says, where do you stand on Jimenez versus Ings? Is it worth finding the extra money for someone like Wilson? I guess I would prefer Jimenez to Ings, and I have been a little reluctant to fully commit to Jimenez because he doesn't have a great historical goal scoring record. He's never, he didn't put up 10 goals last season in the Portuguese league. I don't know that he's done it at all, or at least not like in any major league. So, but it looks like he's really just, I mean, it looks like he's getting opportunities. I mean, the attack for Wolves just seems like it's creating a lot of chances for him. So, what do you think about Jimenez?
I like him. I think the finish he had to beat Burnley 1-0 last week, I thought was really composed. I like him as a player. The thing with Danny Ings that I think in a way gives him the edge is the penalty discussion. But then Southampton, they don't look great as an attacking team. How many penalties are they actually going to get unless Ings is winning all of them himself? Right. Wolves is just a much better attacking team. And you feel Jimenez is going to get more opportunities. And it seems like at the end of the day, it seems like a fun punt to take. I enjoy watching Wolves play. Why not get a piece of that? Why not get Jimenez?
All right. I think I'm with you there. I slightly prefer Jimenez as well. Okay. So let's just do three more, Brandon. All right. Let's do the Giroud Morata combo, and then we'll talk about Jamie Vardy. So Giroud, 7.8 million, actually tied with Vardy on points right now, although Vardy did have a 3-game suspension. Morata, you know, 8.9 million, but not starting for the team right now. I find 7.8 to be a kind of tricky price point.
Yeah.
Right?
It's tricky for a guy.
Where Giroud's always been.
Yeah. But when he was in Arsenal, I think they looked to him to score goals. Giroud is in that Chelsea lineup for one sole purpose, and it's for Hazard to basically create alley-oops for himself. So Giroud stands there like a post. Hazard kicks it off of one of his body parts and then scores a goal. So yeah, if you want to pay 7.8 million for a backboard, then be my guest. But there, I don't see any value there.
Yeah, Liverpool, Man United in two of the next three. I think I agree with you. And then Jamie Vardy, 8.9 million. So, a tricky price point as well.
Yep.
What do you think about Vardy?
I like it. I mean, these fixtures for Leicester are insane. If you pull up the fixture ticker, Newcastle, yeah, Everton, Arsenal, West Ham, Cardiff, Burnley, Brighton, Watford, Fulham, there are going to be a lot of goals there. So I'm a new James Maddison investor. A big question for a lot of our listeners would be, is a Maddison-Vardy double up too much Leicester? And I think I'm going to remain content going on the cheaper side of that investment and just sticking with James Maddison, because as I was saying earlier, he is a creator while also he can score goals. I feel pretty good that of the goals that Vardy is going to score, hopefully Maddison is going to get a piece of those points by way of assists. Yeah. So while the fixtures are really great for Leicester, it's really enticing Vardy. Again, it comes back to that idea of this 8.9 price tag. It's really tricky to fit in. Maybe if you're on wild card, I think it is a really compelling differential. Vardy is in the realm of underrated in FPL.
If I were on a wild card, I would definitely figure out if there was a way to do it. But yeah, as is, it's a little too tricky. Anyone else, Brendan, on this list intrigue you? I mean, I don't think we need to go through any of them. Ashley Barnes just had a nice match. Josalu.
Yeah. Chris Wood is one, Woody, I think, to watch, because he was the focal point of the Burnley attack through spells last season. He's a big lad. And I think if Burnley continue building on that form that they had against Bournemouth, then Wood might be one to watch. But beyond that, I think we've covered so many really great options here. what else do you want?
No, we're done. All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break and we'll get back with a short lightning round, and then we'll talk about game week 7.
Great. Josh, let's talk about our friends at Starting 11. They are the newest daily fantasy app available for your iOS or Android phone. Starting 11 provides cash games live in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany for your iOS phone. And free games are now available everywhere in the world on your Android. Cash games will be coming soon to Android. So, Josh, Starting 11, it's fun. It's a fun antidote to the FPL game week blues. And you can kind of just pick up Starting 11 and start playing right before the matches kick off. You can play any time in which there are two or more Premier League matches happening that day. And you have no budget. You can adjust your lineup right up to the point of kickoff, even after the team sheets are announced. And what I love about the app itself is when you're watching the game, you can make live substitutions as if you were the manager on the sideline. Big news, mini leagues are coming soon to Starting 11. It's something you and I have been hoping would be coming to the app soon, Josh, because we can do fun things like set up an always cheating mini league, or you and your friends can set up a multiple days competition or a season long competition. So more news will be coming from Starting 11 on that. For all information, a great video tutorial on how the app works, how to use it, how to get the most of it, go to their website, starting11.io.
I was just listening in awe at how perfectly you've described this app. There's nothing I could add other than to say, Brendan, that if I were just trying, if I wanted to try out Daily Fantasy, if I wanted to see what the experience was like, see if it was for me, maybe I'm 7 weeks in and my team is letting me down a little bit. I just want a fresh start, but I don't want a wild card, right? I just want to field a different team for a week. Download Starting 11, check it out, challenge one of your buddies, maybe put a couple, couple shekels in the pot, just challenge each other.
You juice it.
And just juice it a little bit, just give it a shot.
Yeah. And exciting, next week we're going to have a big announcement for Starting 11 and our Patreon supporters. So we're looking forward to partnering on more cool projects with our friends at Starting 11. Go to starting11.io for more information. Download that app today.
Brandon, we're back. Part two, it's the all Slack lightning round. Ready? Just got a few questions here. Sparty says, when is the best time to use the free hit? Brandon, I didn't think we'd be ready for chip talk yet. The second half of the season is when I start to lose my sanity a little bit because there's so much chip talk we have to talk about. But he says, for context, I'm thinking about playing it this week because I have five players in a tough Chelsea-Liverpool fixture, whereas I only have an injured Mendy in a City team at home versus Brighton. Of course, I could do a couple of transfers, but normally I'd be happy to have five Liverpool or Chelsea players, just not this week. So free hit early on. I mean, I think we've only had one season with the free hit chip. My feeling was that it was a slightly overrated chip, that it wasn't really as valuable as, I mean, that it was, there was a sense that we should all use it during this, like this one particular blank game week.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel like it worked out like beautifully. You could have just set up a team and been pretty much okay.
The funny thing with the blank game week last season, I played my free hit then and I didn't gain any ground because it was such a blockbuster week that pretty much everyone
it was the week when Salah had the four goals and an assist, right?
Can have all the blanks in the world, but if one player like Salah or Aguero or Hazard goes off, then it's all rendered moot. So yeah, I'm sympathetic to the argument that pinning it just to a blank is really the only smart way to play the game. However, the free hit I view is it's like a get out of jail free card, and maybe I'm approaching the chip with a little more caution. I'm not viewing it as an aggressive chip. It's sort of a chip that's there when I've played my wild card, my early wild card, so I could find myself in a month's time or going into the festive fixtures really being in a bad situation with some injuries or some rotations. So I like the idea of having it on hand for that, and to play it early on in an aggressive nature, it just feels like a lot of undue risk to me.
Yeah, I also would push back against the idea that having five players in the Chelsea-Liverpool fixture is too much of an issue. I mean, first of all, any of your attackers, you're fine with, right? I mean, there'll be goals in that match.
Yeah,
Alonso could pick up points.
Yep. Sorry, I totally talked over you there. Yeah, Alonso and Robertson. I mean, if I'm most nervous about any players, it's the defensive assets, because I think there will be a number of goals in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I have Alisson, which I'm not thrilled to play him in that game, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, Liverpool almost kept a clean sheet away to Spurs 2 weeks ago. You know, they could do the same thing in Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea just were held scoreless, by West Ham's defense. So now, granted, that was on the road and they'll be home, but still, I mean, I'm not terrified of that fixture. I'm probably gonna have four or five players in that game too.
It's going to be a great FPL fixture. Two great attacking teams. We're all going to have players on both sides. It's going to be fun. I mean, don't get scared about your risk assessment. Get excited. It's going to be a really fun match. I mean, there is a chance that Liverpool just overwhelms Chelsea and they can't get out apart from a few counterattacking moves. Particularly if Van Dijk recovers from this rib injury, I think Liverpool look pretty good. But overall, I think it's just going to be a fun match, and let's go.
FPL Strong says, get in Kane now or wait until the fixtures really improve in game week 15.
Yeah, so we talked about this with Kane earlier in that he's in really poor form, and I don't think it's going to happen overnight that he explodes. You'll see it coming. So, definitely wait it out even until game week 15.
Jeff Petter says, lots of people have big money invested in the defense. Did the cheaters think this should be maintained with Firmino and Lacazette looking great lately and Vardy in particular now an option? Does budget shifting need to be considered?
I'm not dead set against it. I mean, Juan Bissaka was a huge conversation centerpiece this weekend. Again, finished with three bonus and a clean sheet. And he's very cheap. You look at there was a lot of talk about Wolverhampton defense and Matt Doherty. And
But how much do you want from your defenders? I mean, Alisson, Robertson, Alonso, Azpilicueta, these guys all got you 6 points this weekend. It's like, it's just because they didn't get an assist and bonus. I mean, getting 6 points, still very solid.
Yeah. So broadly, the conversation can't just shift from, all right, now all premium defenders out for cheap. You have to, Jeff, you're a smart manager. Jeff is beating me in our private mini league, so he doesn't need my advice, but just look at each defender on their own merits. Yeah, like you said, Josh, Alonso and Robertson came in this weekend. Mendy is a problem. And when we have more news about his injury, he'll probably be out of everyone's team. But I think that now it's gone. The thing that's changed is now we have to go sort of a la carte. I think there are room for both premium and budget.
I will say just one quick note. You see that Holobas is already on 4 yellow cards.
That's what he does. Yeah,
I know he does, but 4 and 6 is impressive. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, he only had 7 last season, amazingly, and 14 the year before that. But I guess he didn't play as many minutes last year, but 4 and 6, that's some work, Holobas.
That's Greek FPL, Josh. Hashtag Greek
that's FPL. True. Holobas, you can't bring him in now, right? I mean, you can't bring in Holobas if he's on 4 yellows. You know, it's too dangerous.
No, and this goes against year of the fullback trademark, registered trademark. But you and I both own Watford center backs with Cabasella and Cathcart. These guys look really threatening, like Dunk Duffy levels of threat on set
pieces.
Yeah,
it's true. So, yeah, I know. It's you're right there, Brandon. My God.
I'll be fine.
All right. Next question. This is a lightning round stock question. I just want one word response. Richarlison or Madison?
Madison.
Yeah, Madison for me too. I actually said Richarlison on the advice shop this week, although I did mention it was extremely close. I think, just with their fixtures, I guess you've got to go Madison. I still think Richarlison will score more goals than Madison, but I think the Madison for assist and bonus makes him the pick.
Right. That's the argument. Madison is a double threat, where Richarlison is a strong single threat. He's a goal scorer, where Madison is going to do both, perhaps to a lesser degree with goals.
Yeah. Vinyl Richie, who is having an amazing season, says, what do you think of Salah, Arnautovic for Richarlison, Kane for the next 2 weeks before a wild card? Salah with 2 touchdowns. And by the way, I'm thinking about going into a wild card in game week 8 now, which would be amazing, Brandon. I don't know if I want to go into a UK trip on a wild card. That seems like
with spotty Wi-Fi and roaming charges.
Salah with 2 tough fixtures and Kane with 2 easy ones. Now, I like that he added the wild card qualifier here, so he could bring back Sol in a couple of weeks. So what do you think about that? Just a 2-week punt, then see where you are after 2 weeks.
I like the thinking, but I wouldn't do it. Assuming Arnautovic is healthy, then Sol and Arnautovic are, for me, a better pairing. And
I actually kind of like Kane like Salah in this Chelsea match. I mean, I'm probably going to vice captain him. I could see him getting goals in that game. Like, isn't that like the kind of match where Salah could have chances?
Definitely. And Chelsea's defense is no big shakes. I mean, pulled down some great clean sheets, but the caliber of their oppositions, you know, since they got through that, first 2 game weeks has not been great. So I think Liverpool will be scoring a number of goals. So, go solid.
That game to me is like a 2-2 or something like that. Adam P says, who are your top 3 fixture proof players?
Top 3 fixture proof players. Well, Sergio Aguero, I guess, is an easy one.
Sure.
I mean,
Salah,
do I? Probably. Yeah, this is becoming quickly a boring question. I will say Mitrovic is an interesting player to enter into this.
I thought about him too. Right? It's funny.
He was starved for opportunities against Manchester City a couple weeks ago, but he got one opportunity, and what did he do? He turned and he rifled it on target. So what that says to me is he's a striker that all he needs is one opportunity to get you some FPL points. So I'm not scared ever of starting Metro, and I like that shout.
Yeah, I like. Let's just go with those 3. That's a fun answer. I think I can agree with that answer. 2 more questions. DMiss 27 says, "Is it time to jump on Burnley assets?" Interesting question.
Yeah, it is an interesting question. Very impressive against Bournemouth, but kind of. it makes me feel like there is now balance in the universe. I feel like Bournemouth have been too good this season. Mm-hmm. They needed to be brought back down to earth. And of course their defense is absolutely appalling. No surprises there. So does that result flatter Burnley? It probably flatters them a bit going forward, but they did keep a clean sheet. I need one more result that gives me that much confidence in Burnley.
I agree. Yeah, I think, one game does not convince me that they're like, that they've righted the ship or anything like that.
I think we talked about Joe Hart last week, and while I think he's been among their best players the last couple of weeks, there's still that threat of rotation and what's going on with Heaton and when does Nick Pope come back? And that's just not a future transfer that you want to make. So that one feels like if you're not already on Hart, to kind of stay away, approach with caution.
AJ9909, final question, by the way, are you buying anyone from the Arsenal offense or defense?
No, we're not.
Yep, I agree. I'm not either. They kept a clean sheet finally.
Yeah, we talked about Bellerin like a month ago, and Monreal is kind of back doing his Monreal things, close to scoring a couple of goals against Everton today. So, yeah. But they're so leaky, and that team is still trying to figure out who they are.
Pass. All right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, yeah, pass for me as well. Game week 7, Brendan, just quickly here. We already talked about the Chelsea-Liverpool match. It's another heavy Saturday. The Sunday match has to be – there's only one match on Sunday. It has to be the single worst Sunday-only fixture I can remember. I mean, this is – if there was ever a match to spend time with your family – it's actually my daughter's birthday, so it's kind of perfect. Don't be tempted to bring in a player just to have a player for Sunday. Like, just do something else. Go apple picking. Do something with your family. Don't watch Cardiff Burnley. Okay.
Can you do the Can you do the match of the day challenge with just Cardiff Burnley?
Yeah, exactly. I think so. Just wait and watch the like 90 second highlight package later. Monday, Bournemouth Crystal Palace is a huge match, and we're probably gonna have to actually wait. Do our podcast until that match.
Huge FPL implications with Wan-Bissaka. A lot of people still on Zaha. Will you still be on Zaha for this match?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Probably, but we'll see. Yeah, it's a good fixture for him. It's actually the kind of fixture where he could do something. So I don't know. I mean, God, part of me is like considering even wildcarding this week, even though I have two transfers. I have to really think about my team and what the problem is. There's a lot of fixtures that are kind of turning like in the. I kind of like Vinyl Richie. I want to wait like 2 weeks to play a wildcard. I don't really want to do it right now because if City weren't home to Brighton, I'd be more tempted. But I feel like I need to hold on to my City players still for another week. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think there are some questions about Wan-Bissaka. Like, are we all just going to start starting him in our starting 11 week to week?
Right. Yeah. I mean, 18-2 is, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. I actually wouldn't mind playing him in that game. I mean, you might not get a clean sheet, but you could still get an assist or something.
Yeah, he's starting in my bus team. And my captain on my bus team is Aguero, Brighton. I think that will be the trendy pick.
Yeah, maybe Aubameyang if you had him. Maybe Mitrovic away to Everton, actually. That wouldn't be a terrible shot.
Yeah, Mitrovic is my vice captain right now. Maybe I'll be tempted, maybe. But yeah, it's got to be Aguero.
All right, Brandon, my daughter is knocking on the door. She wants in. So I think we're going to have to wrap up this podcast. Good luck this weekend. This is our final run of fixtures before we go to the UK. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, we have big news. We have a meetup scheduled for the Edinburgh Castle in Camden Town. And that's Saturday, October 6th at the Edinburgh Castle, a pub in Camden Town, London, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. If you live in the London area or anywhere nearby, we'd love to see you. We'll put more details up on our Twitter and Facebook and all that. But please, if you have a chance, come hang out with us Saturday, October 6th, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., Edinburgh Castle. As you said, Josh, let's sign off. Become a Patreon subscriber. Go to patreon.com/OAceCheating, where you can get some cool swag. Join our Slack channel. We just finalized our t-shirts for our Volkswagen and producer level supporters. So those t-shirts are going out in the mail soon and more to come. Thank you to our producers, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Lean Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, and Brian T. Josh, where else can people find the podcast?
They can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Casts, so many more places. And give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would be fantastic. If you want us to be on YouTube, let us know. We've considered posting the podcast on YouTube recently. I just don't know if anybody actually listens to a podcast just on YouTube. So if that was something you'd want, let us know on Facebook, Twitter, email us. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters, H-A-I-L Cheaters. Facebook, it's facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or you can visit our website, alwayscheating.com.
All right, Josh, good luck in Game Week 7. Good luck with your transfers.
Thank you. You too. And I'll see you in a week.
Poku forever.
Hail Josh.
Wow. They're very self-serving.
That's right.
'Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.